Lexington Stories, Lore, and More is the name of our podcast. I'm Alan Lytle. I'm joined in the studio by Fiona Young Brown. She is the author of Secret Lexington, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Welcome in once again, Fiona.
Hello again, Alan.
We're going to call this one the Equine Edition or the Horse Capital of the World Edition. Now, to start out, of course, we know that the Keeneland Spring Meet is already underway. And that's, you know, one of the main things that people point towards, like, well, yes, of course, Lexington is the horse capital of the world. They've got Keeneland. But today, we're going to be spending our time talking about the other things that make Lexington the horse capital of the world.
Exactly. And it's not just that when you fly into the airport to go to Keeneland, you can do as a friend of ours did when they visited a few years ago, which was quickly start pointing out, there's a horse, there's a horse. And I stopped them and said, you'll be doing that a lot.
All day.
So you might want to stop right now.
Pretty much, yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff around town that if you're here for Keeneland, if you're here any other time, there is plenty of other horse-related stuff to see and do.
And there's a brand new one. We have a horse statue that was just a couple of weeks ago was dedicated in Gatton Park. It's a big, giant blue horse, and you can't miss it.
But I have missed it. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, see, that's...
I need to go down and see that.
That is the top of your list now. You got to go see that thing. I haven't either, but I, you know, being in the news business, we cover these things, so we're well aware of its intention and where it's placed and all of that kind of stuff. But I digress. Where are we going first?
I mean, as soon as you come out of the airport, we're assuming you're arriving by plane. And as soon
flying
as you come out of the airport, or if you fly in, you're going to see horses, not just obviously at Keeneland, but you're going to see the murals along by the airport. There are statues in and around the airport. So you're pretty much, you're given a clue as soon as you arrive.
That's your marker.
That's kind of the little hint of where you are.
Okay.
Let's see. I have to start downtown. I mean, Thoroughbred Park is the photo op that everyone wants to go to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the simulated horse horse race. And, yeah, it's on Midland Avenue. And people, we had people coming at our wedding. We had people coming in from Sweden who, that's one of the first places we took them to. And they were like, wow, check this out.
Yeah, I've driven past at weekends, especially graduation weekend, and you'll see people literally lined up waiting to take their pictures there. And I know someone who took the best family picture. I don't normally recommend climbing on art pieces.
It's kind of frowned upon.
But they did have a fantastic picture showing one of them supposedly being trampled by the horses and another one trying to catch them. It's a beautiful sculpture and you can't miss it.
No, you truly, truly cannot. And it's you're right, it's downtown. And it is one of those landmarks. It certainly adds to the evidence of our case that Lexington truly is the horse capital of the world.
And since you're down there looking at that one, I would say don't forget to go in to Thoroughbred Park. It's only a little small park, and it's easy to kind of just see that on the corner and then skip the rest. But there are actually some more statues throughout that little park of horses grazing and so on. It's very, very pretty. From what I understand, all of the sculptures were cast by a lady called Gwen Reardon. And I believe her father was either a racehorse trainer or he was in the business.
And that would make total sense.
And she also has some artwork out at the horse park as well. But this, I just love the setting there, especially, you know, just horses grazing in a paddock, except they're bronze and it's downtown.
We'll get to it in a minute, too. But I mean, the horse park, how many places have a horse park? I mean, there's lots of larger, you know, attractions and things of that nature, but only Kentucky and Lexington has the Kentucky Horse Park.
And there's so much to do there.
Yeah.
It's one, I mean, you have to take visitors there. It's you can see the old champion racehorses. You can just view lots of horses. You can view art related to horses. They always have great exhibitions on, and the live demonstration shows are always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, a museum. They have the International Museum of the Horse. Yeah, everything equine related is there off Ironworks Pike.
Take that, Florida.
Yeah, there you go. Ocala seems to, you know, they want to go neck and neck with us about being the horse capital of the world. Well, you know, I don't know all that much about Ocala, but I do know that Lexington for a long time has claimed that moniker of horse capital of the world.
And we are going to keep it.
Yeah.
Not giving it up.
Next up.
Ooh, let's stop. Well, I mean, if you want to go on a complete treasure hunt, you could try and track down as many of the previous Horse Mania horses as you can find around town.
Okay, and for those folks who don't know what Horse Mania is and was, we've had three iterations of Horse Mania?
Three now. The first one was in 2000, and there were 79 horses. And when I say horses, for those who aren't local, it was a giant public art exhibition. There were 79 fiberglass, I believe, life-size horses, and local artists decorated them. Local businesses sponsored them. So you have them in all manner of incredible designs, colors, and so on. And then the next one, because that was so popular, they decided to repeat it when the World Equestrian Games were here in town.
Remember
another Horsey
well.
Point, remember, we got the Equestrian Games. Mm-hmm. And that was 2010, and there were 82 horses that time. And then the most recent one was in 2022, and this time there were an incredible 160 horses. And that was because they also did the little mini horses as well, and got a lot of local schools and children's groups and so on to do the mini ones. So,
and sadly, there was some vandalism, and you know, it was very frustrating to have to cover stories of that. We're you know, this is a statue, this is a piece of art. Don't you have anything better to do than to, you know, mess with it? It was a little disappointing.
It was a shame, because I think one of the fun things for the first two exhibitions was to be able to go around tracking every one of them down, taking pictures of them all and so on, which this time made it harder to do because some of them weren't there or had to be removed. And
yeah,
after each public exhibition period, they were auctioned off to various people, which is why you can now drive around town and you'll suddenly find a business or a random horse where you didn't expect to see one. I have to give a shout out to my favorite one that I included in the book, and that's Lady Godiva's horse.
Tell us about that.
Well, she's chocolate. Sorry, anyone hoping to see a naked lady riding the horse is going to be disappointed, but it is Lady Godiva's horse because it is designed to look like a chocolate horse with half of it, the gold wrapping has been peeled back. Godiva chocolate, in case you didn't get the link. And that one is now, you can actually see it downtown. It is where the Grove, and there's a coffee shop, and I can't remember that street's name. I'm terrible with streets. I think Mill, possibly.
Mill Street, perhaps?
Where Fulcher used to be, may still be. But if you look up, it's literally sort of on a pedestal shelf on the side of the wall, so you can see it as you're driving past, walking past. I mean, the level of creativity for all of these has been incredible.
Yes, and the fact that we've had three iterations should tell you how popular,
exactly,
as public art this has been and continues to be.
There is also one I've just actually opened and remembered. If you go to the is it Hedley Whitney or Heedley Whitney?
Heedley Whitney.
I always want to say it that way as well. Yeah. If you go there, there is one at the entryway that is covered in shells. Mm. And that is a nod to the shell grotto that's in the museum. So that's another good one to see. And then you just never know where you'll find them.
And we also have famous, shall we say, graveyards of past horses, too. Let's talk about that.
We do so. I guess the big one is Manowar, who I never realized until I was researching the book, never ran the Kentucky Derby.
No.
I guess being here in Kentucky, you just instantly assume every famous horse ran and won the Derby, because what else is there? And I know horse people are now saying there's tons of stuff. But yeah, he didn't run the Derby when he was eligible because his trainer thought that the race was too long, thought it was going to be too hard a race. And so he ran in the Preakness and the Belmont, won them both, so could have potentially won the Triple Crown if he'd been allowed to run. Ran 21 races in his career, only ever lost once. Nickname was the Equine Freight Train. And so, yeah, he was eventually put out to stud, like all successful horses, died in 1947. Coincidentally, he died only about a month after his groom.
Will Harbit.
Yes.
Yes.
They died very close together time-wise. And he was originally buried out at Nursery Stud. But it was kind of a big deal. A lot of people, you know, were really... This was, kind of one of the first big horse celebrities, if that was the right word.
And the funeral itself was covered nationally, and thousands of people showed up.
Yeah, it was actually broadcast on the radio and so on. And they took the extremely unusual move of... So, getting a little bit gruesome, perhaps, but when you bury a racehorse, I discovered, they bury, I want to say, the heart and the hooves, and possibly the head.
Okay, I'm going to trust you on that.
But Man O' War was considered so esteemed, so popular, so they actually buried him whole, which, if you can just imagine the sheer logistics... But his gravesite also proved so popular that in 1977, when they opened the horse park, they moved his grave there. I think partly the horse park was kind of the ideal monument spot. And I'm guessing that the farm may have been a little bit tired of maybe chasing people away. So he is now buried at the horse park. There's a nice statue as well of him at the entryway. From what I remember, but he is one of the first horses, one of the only horses, I think, to have been buried in entirety. I think Secretariat as well. But another place that is actually a really beautiful little spot is out on Sir Barton Way.
I get Sir Barton, named for another horse.
Yep. And that, obviously, that whole area, which is now, you know, Hamburg shopping and houses, apartments, and seems to spread further and further every time I'm down there, was at one point a giant horse farm. And so when they were building the Walmart, that area, they actually had to relocate where some of the horses were buried down there. And so they've actually got a very nice little Hamburg Place Equine Cemetery. Is along Sir Barton. You can kind of park in the Walmart parking, the far side of the Walmart parking lot, and get around to it. But it is a gorgeous little spot. There are graves for, there are monuments and markers for thoroughbreds, John Madden's polo pony, a harness racing champion, a number of standard breds of his as well. So it's not just, you know, famous thoroughbreds, various horses that were important to him. And they're all arranged in kind of a horseshoe shape. And then in the middle, there is a bronze bust of John Madden sort of keeping watch over them. It's a very nice little place to
and
go.
And one people that probably don't know very much about, really. I mean, it's tucked away. It's near that big shopping center.
It is. Yeah. It's right there, but it's the kind of thing that you would drive past without even noticing, and just because everyone down there is in a hurry to get somewhere else. But it's a nice little spot to stop in sometime.
Of course, we're talking a lot about thoroughbreds, but there's also other types of horses, and I'm thinking of the Red Mile, where they have harness racing.
Which I will still go to one day. Yeah. One day I will make it out to the harness racing. Yep, so Red Mile opened in 1875, actually the same year that Churchill Downs opened and the Kentucky Derby was first held. So that was clearly a big year for Kentuckian horses. It is the world's second oldest harness racing track. And, you know, obviously the name is because of the red clay on the mile-long track. But, yep, they run harness racing. I can never remember how long the season is for that, but it seems to be sort of mid to late summer you can normally find the harness races on. And a lot of times they are accompanied by now random novelty races. I think there's been camel racing, wiener dog racing. Ostriches? I don't know.
You
that
just
sounds like a
never know
good
who's
thing.
Going to be taking over that track at any given day. So yeah, it's Red Mile. I believe it's now Red Mile Gaming and Racing. But
yeah, there's now the big casino there. There's also that beautiful barn there on the property
the octagonal
as well.
Barn. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have the story on that?
The octagonal barn. It was the area was at one point kind of used for the county fair. Because, you know, way before Lexington expanded to the point where we needed to move that out to Masterson, that was the area of the county fair. And so the octagonal barn was kind of a display space for a lot of the floral exhibits. And, you know, here's your different types of fancy carrots and so on. So it was a display space. Then after a while, that then became it was used as stables and tack storage for a while for the horses at Red Mile. And now it is a very nice wedding venue. It's a beautiful shaped building. I've seen pictures of the inside when it's all kind of decked out for weddings. And it's a very, very pretty space.
A nice, good photo op, but also it's right there. It's on Red Mile Road, and you can see it. You can drive by it and see it for yourself.
And there you go. You can get your pictures of Red Mile, get your pictures of the octagonal barn, two landmarks for the price of one car stop. We are just taking you around town with all of those photo ops.
Well, if gas keeps going up, then we're going to have to maximize our trips and really think twice about hitting the road, as it were. But that's a different conversation for a different time.
Perhaps horses will make another comeback then.
Yeah, we have plenty of horsepower here. That is for sure. What about some other ones?
Okay, I'm trying to think of some other art pieces around town, because I know there's we've mentioned the airport, we mentioned horse mania rather. There's a nice one at the traffic circle on
the
Alexandria.
The roundabout. Yes, Old Frankfort Pike.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to think of other ones. You know, they're kind of, I hate to say it, you kind of start taking the horses for granted. You just become so used to seeing them everywhere.
Yeah, it's almost ubiquitous for us. And but when people come here, or even in Kentucky, the signature industries are the bourbon and horse racing, right? And basketball to some extent. And so they want to see horses. They want to see all manner of horses. Mm-hmm. And you could take a road trip to Old Friends Farm out in Georgetown, for that matter.
Yeah, and just actually one of my favorite drives is just to get out onto, you know, Paris Pike, Bryan Station, just drive ironworks all around those where you'll find tons of horse farms that you can just drive past and look at them all. And even going back to the airport in Keeneland, you've got Calumet nearby. You just never know when you're going to realize that you're driving past a horse farm, and it's always a beautiful photo op to stop and see them all.
Yes, and you continue out Paris Pike, you'll come into Paris, where there is a relatively new statue of Secretariat there.
Ah, whereabouts is that one?
Downtown.
Ah, okay.
And they have a little park as well. Good on Paris too.
Good for them.
Yeah. So,
although they're not going to be the horse capital of the world.
Horse capital adjacent.
There we go. Okay.
Cash in where you can, right? people just go horse crazy. And later on, that track that we, we're sort of, I don't want to say avoiding, but, Keeneland is the one that moves the needle. The Breeders' Cup is coming back to Keeneland in the fall.
Yep. And of course, there's always the horse sales that are always a big deal there. You know, you see all the private planes at the airport. You see the news stories occasionally of the record-breaking horses. But even if you do not have millions to spend on a racehorse. And I don't know about you, Alan, but I don't.
I rifled through my seat cushions the other day and it just didn't have enough.
It's just not enough sofa change.
No, no.
But even if you don't, a fun thing to do at Keeneland is to go out, and you can do this any time of year, not just when the races are on. And it's probably kind of better when the races aren't on because there are fewer people, is to go out to watch the jockeys training early morning and then go and have breakfast at the cafe down there. You may find yourself sitting next to a famous jockey, horse trainers, and then getting to watch them do their morning workouts. It's
incredible. Yeah. And of course, you know, Keeneland is just a magical place when you compare it to other tracks. And what they have done to try to preserve the just the beauty and the splendor, if you will, of thoroughbred racing as it was intended to be. That's certainly how they view it anyway.
Yeah, and when it opened, actually it's 90 years old this year. It
yes.
opened in 1936, so I'm curious to see what they do for their 100th in 10 years' time. But when it opened, I think one of the goals was that this wasn't just going to be a race course. This was going to be a truly remarkable race course. This was going to be one that people talked about that really showed off the wonder of horse racing.
Yeah, and they have tried to maintain that even when they're doing renovations or expansions. And this latest one, you hear a lot of talk about them trying to keep the architectural integrity, you know, staying true to its original design. And everybody is hailing them for that as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful to fly in, you know, as you come down right over Keeneland as you're getting ready to land.
Your first impression coming in, looking at it, there you see Keeneland, there you see Calumet. It's all right there, you know, and off of Man O' War Boulevard.
There we go.
Think about that, too.
You might notice as well a lot of streets and roads named after horses. I know when they started developing Sir Barton Way and Pink Pigeon and all around there, I was driving around and I was like, why are they calling it that? And my husband just looked at me and said, horses? Come on.
You get tuned in real quick that this is indeed the horse capital of the world. Any other exhibits to point toward? You know, we have a rich equine heritage and history here.
I think in terms of some of the places that are no longer here, but were kind of the forerunners and set the ground, William Wells Brown Elementary School downtown is actually on the site of what was the town's main racetrack.
Ah, the Kentucky Association
yep,
we're talking
mm-hmm.
about? Yeah. Yeah,
and
the East End.
That was apparently quite a place. Racing was not the place for women to go to in those days, unless you were considered rather scandalous. But that was the big place. And so around there, you actually have a lot of racehorse-related history now. I know there's a historical marker up outside the school where the track was, but you also have in that area, you'll notice a few every day or every week when I drive down there, I drive past Soup Perkins Alley. And Soup Perkins was a famous jockey from Lexington. You also have Oliver Lewis Way. There's the Isaac Murphy
Art Garden.
Art Garden.
Yes, I was going to mention that myself. So,
and
yeah.
So all of those are named for Lexington jockeys. And I was reading about that, and a lot of after the Emancipation Proclamation, a lot of people chose to stay where they were work, they chose to carry on working on the horse farms and so on. Practicality, financial, economics, attachment to the horses and so on. And so that's why a lot of the earliest jockeys and groomsmen and trainers and so on were all African American, former enslaved people. And so there's a huge number of the earliest famous jockeys, even the Derby winners. And then, interestingly, the white jockeys started to unionize. And that was kind of the beginning of the end. And then jockeys became exclusively white for a long time. And even now, it's still very unusual to see a jockey of color in the Derby and so on. But because of that rich, rich kind of community here in town, if you go over to African Cemetery Number 2, there are, I was amazed when I found this number, there are more than 170 people buried there who were part of the horse industry here in town.
Incredible. I did not know it was a number that high.
I didn't. I mean, I knew, you know, some of the jockeys and so on, but yeah, as well as Isaac Murphy, Oliver Lewis, Soup Perkins, and so on, you've also got, there are jockeys, there are groundsmen, there are trainers, there are furriers. I mean, all different aspects of the horse industry are all memorialized in that cemetery. And I believe there are a couple of historic markers up in the cemetery now showing you where you can find certain graves.
Yeah. And that part of Lexington's history and the horse racing industry only just recently has begun to be told. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to in order to see where we're going, we need to go back to see where we came from.
Yeah, and I think if since gas prices are so high, why not go for a walk or a bike ride? And you can start at the Isaac Murphy Art Garden downtown. You can follow the Legacy Trail and make your way all the way out to the horse park.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I mean, that's a long stretch. Pack a lunch, I would say, if you're going to do that.
Comfortable shoes.
And comfortable shoes, yes. But it is possible. It is. It's possible, yes.
And then what else do we have? I think the other one that I'd have to give a shout out is Waveland's. Well, what used to be a track, there is now it's the...
Waveland State Historic Site?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which now, what used to be the track is now, I believe, part of the University of Kentucky Agricultural Research area down there. But in 18... I can't remember the date for that one. But they were one of the very first racetracks in the area. I don't know if this is true or not, but I always heard that the reason horses run the opposite way here as opposed to in England was because when he built the track at Waveland, he didn't want anything to do with those Brits. He was going to prove that they could do it better.
And what's your reaction to that? You're a Brit. I mean...
Your racetrack isn't there anymore, is it?
Wow, succinct and
but
to
one
the point.
Of the fun things I did learn about that as well was, remember I'd said about the racetrack downtown, that the races were considered sort of an unseemly place for women to be in back in those days. I guess it was gambling, it was betting, it was trading, it was just not a genteel place. And so apparently at Waveland, the ladies of the house used to invite their guests over, and all of the ladies would come out and watch from one of the balconies.
Oh.
Where they could oversee the racetrack, but they weren't actually there, and they could easily go back inside. They could watch from a discreet distance.
I can just see somebody clutching a fan and almost getting a case of the vapors.
There you go.
Yeah, something like that. Well, yes, a lot has changed about the horse racing and who attends the meets and things of that nature. That's true.
I was going to say, actually, now I think more of my female friends go than men. It's it's a
ladies
big
day,
ladies' day place
yeah.
to hang out. You have lunch, you watch your horses, and you have your bread pudding, your bagoo, your bourbon,
yeah.
all of the essentials.
And when we're coming up on Derby Day, Keeneland likes to bill itself as the largest Derby party other than Churchill Downs.
That's right. You can go out there and I know I went out there one year to join the long, long line of cars all placing their bets. But yeah, I think don't they have it telecast and people go out and picnic and
watch
it all from
the
there.
You can sit in the grandstand and watch all the action unfold on the big screen. There,
and I've got to say, that actually sounds a lot more fun than watching it from the infield at Churchill Downs.
Everybody should do it at least once, and that would be me. Just once. Enough. One is enough. One time is enough. And it was 1992, and Pat Day won aboard Lil E.T., and don't ask me if I saw any of it because we were literally in the infield, and I think that was before you had the massive screen, so you just had to go up to the rail, make your way up to the rail and see the horses whiz by. So, you know, but it is a story. Obviously, the fact that I'm telling it now tells you that I can remember exactly, you know, what the circumstances were. So, again, everybody should at least one time go to Churchill and get in the infield. And if you live to tell about it, like me, you know, great. We'll bring you on. We'll bring you on the show.
You can tell your survivor's tale.
Exactly. I came within an inch of my life. It was, you know. But again, going back to, you know, Lexington being the horse capital of the world, we're coming up on the Derby, but most of those horses were, or a lot of them were, born and bred right here in Lexington, raised in Louisville, but born and bred here in Lexington.
Yeah, I think honestly, if you go to Louisville hoping to see racehorses other than Churchill Downs, you're going to be disappointed because they are all around here. This is the place to be.
Not knocking our friends there in the Derby City, because I mean they are the Derby City, but you know, Lexington, horse capital of the world, and you know we're doing our best to, you know, if we were in a court of law, this is our best case.
Yes. You know. I think we're making a good case.
Yeah.
We've got art, we've got history, we've got race courses, not just the one, race tracks, race courses. I keep.
We even have equine themed eating establishments and bars. And I got to give a quick shout out to one that my wife and I, we like to go to a lot. It's in Meadowthorpe, and it just happens to be called Thoroughbred. And you think about the different places like Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Well, this really has that vibe about it. Very neighborhoody. You can tell that there are a lot of locals and a lot of regulars that go in there. But we are never once feel unwelcome. It's just a great atmosphere. So, and as I think it's one of the longest running eating and drinking establishments in Lexington. So
that wouldn't surprise me, because a lot of the older ones have closed up now. So
yeah,
and that's definitely on my to-go list, because I think people have this idea that the horse racing world, there's definitely a lot of money in it, but I think you can definitely enjoy the horse heritage of Kentucky without being a millionaire, without having your private jet. I think there's definitely a lot of related activities around town that you don't have to be uber rich to enjoy.
Oh, certainly not. And you can also take tours of certain horse farms. Let's talk about a little bit about that.
You can. I remember my in-laws took me on one when I first came, and then we took my family, all, you know, the horse tour as well as the horse park and so on. They're kind of on that list of first time in Lexington, here's what you do. It is a great way to see a horse park, one of the horse farms up close, and to really learn a little bit more about behind the scenes, you know, the business of horse racing, horse breeding, training. And yeah, you'll learn a lot more than you will at any other time. I will say one of the times that I went, my little niece did learn a lot more about what stud meant than we had expected her to.
So you had to have the talk.
We did. But it is actually, it's a really interesting behind the scenes look into the business that has brought so much money to Kentucky.
Visit Horse Country, I think, was the one I was thinking of. They have an entire lineup of different places that you can go.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones. I think some take you just to one specific farm and then sort of drive you around. And then there are others that will take you to two or three. But definitely look around. And if even if you live here and have lived here for years and haven't taken one, I think it's a fun thing to do and it's an educational thing to do.
I would probably suggest to get a list of all that, go to Visit Lex. They have really they think of everything. If you're just coming to Lexington for the first time, or you know, you want to maximize your time here, Visit Lex. That'll be your portal, if you will.
Yeah, and they're actually really good as well. Their website's great if you're looking for a specific point of interest. Like if you're here for horses, if you're here for food and so on, they've got you covered. And usually with some suggestions that I wouldn't have even considered. They do a real range from the ones that everyone knows about to the little places that you might have overlooked or only locals know about.
You could say that they're thinking outside the barn.
You could.
That site tells it all.
You could. Yep.
We might cut that one out. We'll see. Anything else as we sort of wrap up this conversation?
You know, I think we have covered a lot of horses. But I think no matter how many horses we've covered, I'm still going to have visitors to town that are still going to drive around pointing every time they see
Look,
one.
A horse.
Horse.
A horse.
There's horses. So
a horse
just
is a
be
horse,
prepared.
Of course,
that
of course
will happen when you have guests from out of town.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, this has been great. And, you know, and long overdue, of course, Lexington being the horse capital of the world. And, I mean, I would just have to say, Your Honor, we rest our case.
Yeah. I think we've made a perfectly good case, and we have proven our point.
So what are we going to talk about in May? Do we have to figure this one out, I guess.
Yeah,
put our heads together.
We've got some possible topics.
Sure.
But let's not give it away yet.
No.
Because we haven't decided yet.
We're going to have a conversation after this one. And, we won't be recording that one. But you will be surprised and, dare I say it, amazed about our next episode of Lexington Stories, Lore, and More. Fiona Young Brown, author of A Secret Lexington, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure, available through Reedy Press, correct?
Yes.
Has been my co-host and partner in crime around this lovely town of ours. And we'd love it if you download this podcast, follow us, and tell all your friends, because there's lots more of Lexington Stories, Lore, and More just ahead. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you soon.